In the introit of today's Mass, the choir sang, "Rejoice, O Jerusalem, come together, all you that love her, rejoice with joy, you that have been in sorrow, that you may exult and be filled from the breasts of your consolation." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Give us this day our daily bread, we consider this morning. Sometimes, in order to get a sense of the gospel, it's helpful to look at the telling of one of the other evangelists. St. Mark, for example, sets the scene for the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes and then 12 baskets left over. And the scene he sets is remarkably like that of our own day. Imagine that. When many are afraid to come together, and most throughout the country and the world are forbidden. St. Mark writes, "Jesus saw a great multitude and took pity on them, since they were like sheep that have no shepherd, and began to give them long instruction." Well, I have no long instruction for you today, you're hoping, but I do have a miracle greater than that of the feeding of 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, the bread of angels, transubstantiation, the sacrifice of the Mass. The panic pandemic seems to be reaching its height. They really are sheep without a shepherd. Even to my grief, I note some priests now in that category. The objective study, the trustworthy sources for information today are so very easily accessed in the internet, but instead, people go along as they will with the crowd. I wonder if this is how the end will come. Certainly, the changes came about this way. I mean, some great final persecution, and every Catholic carried along by the push of the crowd, until there is just the literal handful. But rejoice, we have the Mass this morning, our daily bread, by the mercy of God. Exactly 50 years ago, today, this Sunday, the Novus Ordo was made mandatory in our country, and the true Mass disappeared from all of the parish churches throughout the United States. Today, 50 years later, to the day, every one of those churches is closed, and they have no Mass at all. The divine justice, though, is mild. It is man who makes heavy and unbearable burdens to lay on other men's shoulders without ever lifting a finger to relieve them. Pray for those who are faltering today under the weight of psychological propaganda, for so it is. For some, it is an almost unbearable pressure. Pray. Be gentle. The facts are out there, limpid as the truth is ever, clear and simple. Father McKenna notes anecdotally, but an interesting thing. He travels each month thousands of miles and meets hundreds upon hundreds of people, and never once has he come across anybody with this particular strain of virus. But each year, meanwhile, 20 to 30,000 die of so many silent killers, including that of this year's flu. But nobody talks about it. And why is that? But it may be too late to talk about it. Let it pass. All things are passing. Be Christ-like in your compassion for the crowd, not contemptuous. Most will follow them as they did 50 years ago with the changes. But only one thing I do ask of you after your prayers and your compassion. Remember, when people surrender to fear, tyranny is their reward. There's a Spanish saying which goes, I think, something like this. Tiempo fea, cara buena. Keep a good face when the times go bad. Look calm, speak calmly, even if you might not feel it on the inside. In the old days, adults, parents, grandparents kept a lid on things, especially in front of the children. They may have noted this or that hardship or difficulty, but there was no hint of panic. Pray rather, give us this day our daily bread. That's all we can ask for. Laetare Sunday it was, in a sense, in the gospel today. That is to say, the Pasch, in many languages, Easter is still referred to as the Pasch, was approaching, and the people on the shores of the Sea of Galilee were rejoicing. Our Lord was in their midst. He had healed the sick. He had gone away a little bit for some quiet and prayer, but now he's come back. And he's about to feed them the wonder of it without their even asking. Miraculous bread. Oh, not that they believed in him. They didn't believe him to be the Son of God. The crowd regarded him as almost a kind of a magician, a prophet, yes, a teacher, but bring on the miracles. And now, seized with enthusiasm, they've decided, who makes these decisions in a crowd, that he should be the king to deliver them from the heavy yoke of the government? But Bishop Sheen has this insight. The crowd could not make him king. That's how the gospel today concludes. He was born a king. And how will our divine Savior assert his kingship? Through the cross, not through the crowd. This was the second time he declined a crown. The first, when Satan tempted him, the first Sunday of Advent. So you see, our Lent is all about a crown, and crown, of course, in the Latin is Corona. But life is all about a crown as well. Be faithful, and you will win the crown, St. John writes in the last book of the Bible. Satan offered Jesus the kingship of the world if only he would fall down and adore him. Is that next? It's a government rule. Don't you think we ought to be obeying that too when it comes? The crowd today wanted to push him up onto a throne, but he would not be pushed. He would be lifted up, and the throne would be the cross and his kingship over hearts and families and all of society. And the only crown their unclean hands would put on his head would be a crown of thorns, not the cheap popularity of a politician who's got one eye on the polls and feels he must do something. What's next today? Is King Canute commanding the tide to stop? Has anybody thought about prayer? Oh, the houses of prayer are closed now, as are most American hearts and homes as well, closed to prayer. We refuse our Lord the rejection of his, the recognition, ours the rejection of his rightful crown, the crown with which he was born, corona in the Latin, and we find ourselves left with only some miserable virus. I'm not calling it Chinese anymore, or even corona. The name has mutated into letters and numbers because that's how you're meant to be known in the new way. What's your password? But consider again the mercy of God. So mild a punishment. It is man, the crowd again, the rulers who have magnified this into an earth-shattering chastisement. It's not the plague, it's the second and the third plague, the panic in the police state, which threatens society itself and work and daily life. How much we do need to pray for our daily bread. Bread, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Most people nowadays would feel virtuous if they passed up the bread basket at the table. It's not the staff of life anymore. It's carbs and white flour, and don't forget gluten. In the old days, it was a meal. It was nourishing. Bread, our Lord tells us to pray for, not cake, the basics, nothing fancy. But if you don't let people earn their bread in the healthy sweat of their brow, as God told Adam, how does life go on? By printing more money? Where is that going to get us? Why, it's like cooping up entire cities out of the fresh air and away from the sunshine and vitamin D, exactly what they need to resist virus. And here is such a beautiful spring morning. St. Bernard says this petition comes in the middle of the Pater Noster because it is a double one. It refers both to bread from heaven and to natural food. It comes from heaven, all bread does, God gives it, but it is used here upon earth. Father Cicada, we were discussing this yesterday, he recited the phrase, give us this day our daily bread, in the original Greek from the Gospel, and I have to say, I was impressed. And you know, depending on how you write it out, back then they didn't have commas, or dashes or periods. Depending on how you write it out, the adjective daily means either common, ordinary, everyday. But if you divide the letters of the word a certain way, why then it means transubstantial. So in one word, you have it all. The beauty of the gospel. So we are told to ask God for what we need, with all confidence, for this world and for the next. And we're praying today for, yes, survival, and for sanctity, and for salvation. To ask God, what is that except prayer? We'll hear, God willing, at Tenebrae, again this year, the beautiful last words of the Savior before he left the apostles and entered into his passion in the garden. Vigilate et orate ne intretis in tentationem. Keep watch, pray, lest you enter into temptation. Keep watch. Three steps. Pray, because you're going to be tempted lest you should be tempted. This morning as I began my divine office, the first words struck me as they've been striking me at the matins. All of Lent, we begin the morning prayer by saying at night, let it not be vain for you to rise in the morning before the light, because the Lord has promised a crown, corona, a crown, to them that keep vigil, to them that watch. We meet it everywhere today, don't we? And it's only fair. For if, as the prayer says, everywhere we go we meet the cross, surely too we should remember the crown. So rejoice, Jerusalem. Come together, all ye that love her. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.